Good morning, Christ Center. It's Friday, November the 7th, and we are in week 9 of our walk through the book of Mark. This morning, we're reading from Mark 13, 33 to 41. But before we do, let's take a moment and quiet our hearts as we invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 15, 33 through 41. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "See, he's calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a stick, offered him a drink, and said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion, who was standing opposite him, saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph and of Salome. In Galilee, these women followed him and took care of him. Many other women had come up with him to Jerusalem.
Thank you, Pastor Janelle. We're also here with Joshua Rivas. We finally gotten to the death of Jesus, and it's easy to hear Jesus's final words, my God, why have you forsaken me, as purely tragic. And of course, it was the worst moment in history, but it wasn't purely that. Why is that, Joshua?
Jesus is quoting from Psalm 22, which begins with those words, my God, why have you forsaken me?
It was part of rabbinical sort of rhetoric that you, and not even just rabbinical, but this is just cultural. To quote a part of something was to include the whole thing. So for example, it's just like we kind of do the same thing today with references. If you're having a really bad day, "Hello darkness, my old friend," or something, you know, and you're pulling that in. So Jesus, by quoting the first line, is essentially pulling in the whole psalm. Is that right?
That's exactly right. In fact, just a couple excerpts. If you look at Psalm 22, then it speaks of where they mock him and they say, you know, you can you save yourself? Where they're saying, let God deliver him if he's truly the Son of God. The bulls of Bashan surrounding and mocking, and even casting lots for his garment, dividing his clothes and casting lots for his garment. So Jesus is saying, this is happening right now. And the culmination is just incredible, where he's speaking of that future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. So Jesus is speaking of the finality of what this really means when he was saying, it is finished, which is not, Mark doesn't quote that part, but what is it that's been finished? God is making the way to redeem all things. And then we go into some pretty incredible things that start to happen in the temple.
In the end of that psalm, we see like this promise that all the nations will come to him. So in this act that is like this defeat, it's like, it feels like ultimate defeat, there's this promise embedded that there's victory here. And it will be victory for the nations. It's really a powerful psalm, and you can feel the agony in his words, but also this promise of hope. And also in this scene, just right after this, Jesus lets out a cry, and then the curtain of the temple is torn from top to bottom. Tell us about that, Janelle.
Yeah, what a game-changing moment that. Before, the Holy of Holies was separated by that curtain, and only the priest would go in once a year. And now that is torn, and now we're invited into that.
Yeah. I mean, in Solomon's temple, you had the priest going in like once a year, he would literally have a bell on his foot to make sure that so they could hear that he was still moving, and a rope tied to his foot. And so if he stopped moving and they could say, well, he was in the presence of God and, well, he must have died.
He got cooked.
Yeah, so they'd pull him out. So the Holy of Holies, that behind the curtain, that is, they say, where the presence of God was held. And for that curtain, which was a thick, I was like 3 feet thick or something like that, to be ripped in that moment was one of the most powerful displays. What do you see God saying to us there?
Yeah, he's inviting us into that. Like, we don't have to go through the priest. Now we have access to that. Just me.
Yeah. Yeah. There was so much that I didn't ever see about the temple all the way through the book of Mark. The judgments of the temple. You had the, you know, Mark 13, the coming destruction of the temple. And then this right here.
We see the restoration of God's original plan, which was God with us. His desire was always to dwell with us. And in fact, Jesus was constantly teaching that God's desire is, you know, if you invite us in, my Father and I will come and be within you, that he desires that we would be the temple where he dwells. He's not looking for a temple made by human hands. He's looking for a temple that he made that is humans. And he's desiring that we would carry the glory of God within us and share that glory here on this earth. So it's amazing too to think about that it was torn from top to bottom, not bottom to top, you know, that God is initiating this, yeah. That he's coming down towards us and removing every separation. Doesn't have to be there anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting at the end here that there is one person who recognizes the identity of Jesus. And this has been the question, of course, that's dominated the book. Who is Jesus? Who is this man? And this is the first man to recognize this.
Yeah, what do you think was going through his head at this point? Like, oh my God.
Yeah, man, he sees the darkness come in. He also sees the way that Jesus is dying, which is like he's, you know, we don't get the full account here, but we see Jesus praying for those who were literally torturing him. We see him offering forgiveness and consolation to the thief on the cross who ultimately, you know, asks for forgiveness. We see these things. He refuses to lash out and he dies the suffering man. And it was a Gentile Roman centurion that recognizes that.
Truly, this man was the Son of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Craig Keener, the New Testament scholar, says, Mark's irony is plain. Only a Gentile is impressed by Jesus' death. Like the Jewish leadership here was, you know, putting the sign up. They had pushed Pilate, the king of the Jews. And so everyone is mocking. And yet it's one of the Roman soldiers that sees it and goes, man, this was the Son of God. Janelle, can you just pray a prayer of thanksgiving?
Thank you, God, for the beautiful gift that this passage is talking about, like the ultimate sacrifice. Lord, thank you that curtain was torn from top to bottom. Lord, thank you for the access that we have to you and you in us. Thank you for the gift of your presence. I just bless my family today as we go about our day and just ask that we'd be aware of your presence in each thing that we're involved in. Thank you, God, for the gift of your presence. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.